Psalm chapter 100. Psalm chapter 100. I want to thank everybody for the prayers for me. I'm still not out of the woods yet, but I do have quite a bit more energy than I had Sunday. I got to tell you, Sunday I was so spent that it was everything I could do just to be here at church. But then I'm thankful that we had a couple men that stood up and preached, and that was really wonderful. It was an answer to prayer. And the Lord's healing me. I'm getting there. Hey, it's a great weight loss program, amen? Man, keep on like this, and boy, you can get on down there. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." You know, people bring all kinds of things to church. You know, when we come to church, we tend to bring many different things. Some people bring snacks and candy. I remember when I grew up, when I was a little kid, we'd go to church, and there was always this lady that sat in front of us, and she always made it a point to bring lots of candy for the kids, hard candy. And I never will forget that the second we'd sit behind her, me and my brother, we always looked forward to sit behind her because we knew we were going to get candy, you know. And I remember she would turn around and hand us candy, and the second she did, my mom would look right at us and go, and she made sure she held that candy until we got home. I never forgave my mom for that. But, you know, some people bring that. You know, I've seen people bring other books to church to read while the sermon's being preached. I've seen that. I've seen people play games on their cell phone. You know, and people think that the pastor can't see things like that. You know, amen? Some people sometimes use church as a time to balance their checkbooks. Other people bring nail clippers. You know, you can ask my wife this. This is when I was a pastor in Oklahoma, the lady who was cleaning our church. You think you got it bad here? The lady that cleaned our church there, she came to me one day and she goes, "I want to show you what I found on the carpet." And somebody had been, it looked like toenails. Okay? And these people, I mean, that's what they were doing. I mean, they were sitting there and they were clipping nails. Church. There's preaching going on, amen? And so, you know, people, you know, some things just need to be left at the house, amen? Well, you know, some people just bring all sorts of things to church. But you know, there are some positive things tonight. For instance, how many of you have a Bible tonight? Amen? Well, you know what? That's a good thing to bring to church. And in fact, that's a real good thing to church. Bring to church. There are some things that everybody should bring to church. Now, Psalm 100 here is about, really, doctrinally, it's about the future millennial kingdom. Okay? And it describes that worship, how worship is going to be like in that day when the Lord is reigning from glory, reigning on this earth for 1,000 years. And, you know, we're not to that day yet. I'm looking forward to that day. But we're not to that day yet. But we are here in the family of God, and we are commanded to gather ourselves together to worship him in church. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So, you know, we meet in church. And with that in mind, when we read this psalm here, and it talks about entering into his gates and entering into his presence and entering into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, when we think about that, when we read this psalm, we can see exactly really what, as Christians, we should be bringing in the presence of the Lord and when we meet, when we come to church. And notice in this chapter, it mentions some things that we need to bring when we come to church. And the first thing that it mentions, if you'll notice, it says that when we come to church, we should bring the right spirit. Everybody, when we come to church, we should bring the right spirit. Now you say, well, what is the right spirit? Well, for starters, The right spirit that you should have when you come to church is an exalting spirit. An exalting spirit. Now, many people, you know, it says there in verse 1, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now, a lot of people, including myself, like to use that verse to try to get out of singing. They'll say, the Bible says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and I just can't make a joyful noise unto the Lord, so therefore I'm not going to sing. But the truth of the matter is this specific verse here in this chapter does not mention singing at all. It just says make a joyful noise. So what joyful noise could it be talking about? Well, you could apply it to singing, I suppose. But of all the things that makes a joyful noise unto the Lord, of all the things that you could do, the noise that you can make that makes a joy that would be joyful to the Lord, nothing brings more joy to God than for His Son to be magnified. That's what brings joy to God, when you magnify Jesus Christ. Anytime that we shout out and we exalt the Lord and make much about Jesus Christ, that is a joyful noise to the Lord. That's what the Lord's interested in. And, you know, if that be in song, if it be just yelling out amen or glory to God, you know, those are the things that when you exalt the Savior, when you lift Him up high, when you make it about Him and what He's done on the cross for us, that's a joyful noise. That's what God wants to hear. And I'll tell you this, folks, a lot of churches today have gotten away from that. A lot of churches today, you know, they talk about many different things, and they talk about, you know, better ways to live your life, and they talk about a lot of, you know, psychological subjects. But, you know, when we come to church, we need to have an exalting spirit where we lift up Jesus Christ. And when we do that, that is a joyful noise. So we should have an exalting spirit. We should also have a serving spirit when we come to church. You know, when we come into the house of the Lord, when we come here, we should all come with the attitude of what can I do to serve the Lord while I'm here? What is there something I can do? Can I help out? Can I shake hands with somebody when they come in? Can I say hi, how are you doing? And or maybe I can help out, you know, teaching, or you know, help out here or help out there. You know, there are a lot of churches today where, you know, if something breaks, if something's wrong, everybody just runs to the pastor and said, hey, toilet's clogged. Well, what's wrong with getting the plunger and fixing it? Right? You know, you see what I'm saying? And when we come to church, we should have a serving attitude. And notice there it says in verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. This verse is telling us when we serve the Lord, we should be glad to serve Him. We are to be so filled with love for the Lord that regardless of what He asks us to do, we should be tickled to death to do it. That's serving the Lord with gladness. David said this in Psalm 122, verse 1. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I wonder how many Christians could say that tonight. I was glad when it came time to come to church. I tell you this, I think there's a lot of Christians that just go and really don't want to come. That's not really having the right spirit. When you come, you should have an exalting spirit. You should have a serving spirit. You should want to come into the door of this church. You should want to come in here and worship the Lord and be around other Christians and have fellowship with them. And whether it's, like I said, whether it's teaching or whether it's welcoming people at the door or volunteering to do special events, whatever it may be, we need to have a serving spirit. Whenever we come to church, we need to bring that to church with us. Now, if you'll notice, the next kind of spirit that we should bring to church, here is the bad news for those who don't like to sing. Look at verse 2 again. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Now, what that's saying is we need to have a singing spirit when we come in here. And you say, well, I can't sing. You know, nowhere in that Bible does God ever condemn somebody for not knowing how to sing. He just says sing. Don't you? You know that one of the problems is, and I struggle with this too. One of the problems that we have is we start to think that we sing for other people. We start to think that when I sing, I have to sing good, because if I don't sing good, what will everybody else think? Well, if that's the way you're thinking wrong. Because when you sing, hey, and I'll tell you something else too. There are people today that when they sing, when we sing a hymn, they'll sing real low like this right here. And they'll go, Well, listen, you know why that is? Because you're afraid of what everybody else is going to hear. When you sing, you don't sing for me, and you don't sing for everybody else in here. When you sing to God. It's you singing to Him. And I'm just going to tell you, God, you know, when my kids sing, you know, I don't sit there and say, boy, you know, well, I don't judge them whether they can sing or not. I'm just happy that they're singing. Amen? Right. And you know, and if a kid draws you a picture, it doesn't matter that they're not a Picasso. That picture was to me. And so that means a lot to me. Amen?
Right.
Well, that's the way it is when we sing. God's not up there saying, oh, I wish you could carry a tune. He's not saying that. God's happy that you're singing to Him. And when you sing to Him. That's the reason when we sing, we should all sing out. We should be the loudest church. They should hear us across the street. Why? Because it's God. I mean, it's all about Jesus Christ. And when we sing, we should be singing to Him. It should be from us to Him. And who cares what everybody else thinks? You know, you've heard me give the illustration before. You know, I've been to churches where you got two or three people come up, and I mean, they're very well harmonized, and they're polished singers, and they sound good. And you know, and I've been to services where they sang, and the Holy Spirit of God was upon them, and I've been to churches where people got up and sang, and the church was dead as a doornail. But I've also been up there where a guy just gets up and said, "Hey, I'd like to sing a special." And he gets up there, and I'm telling you, if you heard him sing, it'll actually hurt your ears. But while he was singing, the Holy Spirit of God was all over that man, and I mean, it was going all the way through that whole church. Why? Because it's not about us. It's about the Lord. And so when we come in, we need to have a singing. We need to bring in the church with us, a singing attitude. Well, as a singing spirit, when we come in here, we need to sing out to the Lord as if He means something to us, because He does. So these first two verses tell us that when Jesus is in your heart, you're not going to be able to hide Him. If you truly are just bubbling over with love for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be able to hide Him. It's going to show up in your singing. It's going to show up in the way you serve at church. It's going to show up in the spirit that you have when you come to church. It's going to show up. You can't hide Him. So one of the things we are to bring when we come to church, besides our Bibles and ourselves, is we need to bring the right spirit. But then, not only are we to bring the right spirit, but when we come to church, we also should be bringing the right attitude of submission. The right attitude of submission. If you look at verse 3. It says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." We are told here to know that the Lord, He is God. Now, we know that whatever we concentrate all of our time and our attention and our thoughts towards, that thing, whatever it is, has become our God. Whatever you make the priority in your life has become your God. But here it says that we are to know that the Lord is God. God is to be superior to any other person, any other thing, or any other activity in our lives. And when He is, you'll have no problem with submitting to Him. The reason some people have a problem getting to church or just plain serving the Lord is that they're submitting to so many other things than they are to the Lord. They're submitting to their job, or they're submitting to finances, or they're submitting to TV, or they're submitting to football or sports or whatever it may be. Whatever it is that's keeping you from serving the Lord, that has become your God. And, the problem is that's the things that a lot of people are submitting to. They're submitting to those things and not to the Lord. But when we submit to the Lord, we are to submit to Him, remembering that He's the one who made us. And without Him, we would be nothing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." He's saying this. He said, "If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be who I am." Everybody in this room could say that tonight. If it wasn't for God, do you know where you would be? You know, that's the reason I don't look down upon anybody, folks. When I see somebody that's living on the streets and a drunkard living on the streets, I don't say, "Well, look at that guy." Hey, if it wasn't for the grace of God, that's where I'd be too. Amen? And I'll tell you what, we need to remember that. God is the one who's given us everything. The reason you're going to heaven today is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we need to remember that He is the Lord. He's the one that deserves the priority. He's the one that deserves the preeminence. He's the one that we should be focusing all of our time on and all of our efforts on. It's all about Him. And not only that, but we need to remember that we are His sheep and He is the shepherd. Sometimes we get a thing mixed up. Sometimes we get that whole servant-master thing flipped upside down. You know how many Christians today that what they do basically is they never pray until they need something. When things go wrong, then that's when they pray. Outside of that, they never pray at all. Well, wait a second. Is that the servant or the master? To say, hey, I want you to be on call just in case I need something, God. That's not the servant. You're trying to be the master. You're trying to be the shepherd. The Bible says He is the Lord. Know that He is God. Know that He is the shepherd. And that we are His people. And we need to keep that straight. You know, if we could ever grasp the truth, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, over in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If we could ever grasp that truth that the Lord is my shepherd, it would transform us forever. If we could ever grab a hold of that thing. Because if we ever realize that, we'd never have to worry about our needs being met. I mean, if you really believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd, then why are you worried about your needs being met? Doesn't the good shepherd always take care of the sheep? We'd never have to fear anything that arises in life. Why? Because the shepherd's there to protect the sheep. If you're saved, you belong to the chief shepherd, and he'll take care of all the needs of your life. The problem is, we have so many of us have not learned to trust the Lord as much as we should. That's just the bottom line. We trust him for salvation, but it seems like we don't trust him for anything else. We trust him to get us to heaven, but when we're sick, we don't trust him to heal us. When we're facing financial problems, we don't trust him to handle that. You know, when things go wrong in life, you know, we start to think that you know, God's forsaken us. Why don't we trust? You trust him with your soul. Why wouldn't you trust him with everything else? See, the problem is, you know, the sheep needs to trust the shepherd. Because if the sheep doesn't trust the shepherd, what's the sheep going to do? What they always do, they wander off. Well, we're supposed to trust the shepherd. And I tell you this, folks, if you can't trust Jesus Christ, who in the world are you going to trust? Amen. And so when we come to church, we need to bring that attitude of submission. And when we realize that he's the one who made us and we can do nothing without him, we'll submit to him. Now, when the Lord speaks to you about a heart of a matter, when you come to church, you know what you should do? You should submit to that. When you come to church, when a message is being preached, and you feel that still small voice on the inside, if you brought the right attitude of submission, you know what you're going to do? You're going to say, you know what? The Lord, he's God. He's the shepherd. I'm the sheep. I'm his people. So when he tells me to do something, I need to do it. Amen? Now that is having the attitude of submission. Many people will come to church, but they don't have the attitude of submission. In other words, they come in and they want to leave feeling good the same way they came in feeling good. Now listen, if you're right and you're in fellowship with the Lord, then maybe that'll happen. But a lot of people aren't in fellowship with the Lord, and they just come in and they just want to be, you know, buttered up and sugared up and made to feel better about the things that they're doing in life that are wrong. But when you come to church, you know, when you come in here and you sit down and there's preaching, or when you're reading your Bible, and then all of a sudden there's something that just jumps off the page and says, hey, you've got a problem with this area in your life. You need to get it right. You know it's the truth. When the Bible shows you that there is a problem that you have in your life, you know it's the truth because Jesus said, thy word is truth. And when the preaching starts and all of a sudden you get that conviction, and deep down inside you know that you've got something wrong in your life and you need to get it right, if you have brought the right attitude of submission, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get it right before you leave. I wonder how many people that come to church on Sundays, that they'll come in here and they'll get convicted, but then walk right out that door and not do anything. And I tell you, they didn't bring the right attitude of submission. Listen, the Lord has been awful gracious to us to even show us when we mess up. Do you realize how gracious that is to him? I mean, for the grace he has to give us just to show us that we mess up. And how much he has to love us to say, hey, listen, you're going down the wrong road. You're doing this. Now, you know it's wrong. You need to make it right. What a gracious God we serve. But I'll tell you this, folks. You need to have the right attitude of submission when you come in here. You need to bring it to church. If it's a sin in your life, you need to confess it and get right with the Lord. If it's something the Lord is laying on your heart to do, do it. If all of a sudden you've come in here and you see that you're doing something you ought not be doing, knock it off, quit doing it, and move on. Amen? Amen. That's what we need to do. That's the right attitude of submission. So we're to bring in the right spirit. When we come to church, we're to bring the right spirit. And then we're also to bring the right attitude of submission. And then the third thing we are to bring to church every time we come, and that is we are to bring the right sacrifice. The right sacrifice. Now, the Bible's definition of sacrifice is this. Basically, it's something that you are offering to God that cost you something. That's what a sacrifice is in the Bible. It's something that's offered to God that costs you something. In other words, if it doesn't cost you anything, it's not a sacrifice. Okay? And what you do is you offer that to God. Now, the thing to remember that a lot of people don't remember, or perhaps they don't know, is that when it comes to sacrifices, the sacrifices that you give to God are never on your terms. Never. They're never on your terms, and they are never determined by you. There are people today that they have, they offer praise to the Lord, but it's different than the way the Bible says that we are to offer praise to the Lord. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, they say, well, we're going to do this as a form of praise. Well, the Bible is very specific on what God determines is what is praise and what God determines what is sacrifice. How many of you, you know, when you're reading your Bible, how many of you enjoy reading Leviticus and Deuteronomy? Aren't those just wonderful books to read, especially late at night? You're trying to keep your eyes open. Well, you know, when you read back there and you read about in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you read a whole lot about sacrifices. You know how you're supposed to cut up a certain animal a certain way and fillet it this way and cut it that way and lay it down this way and all this stuff, you know, and with the doves and the red heifer and the lamb and all these different things. When you read all those things, you know, God was very specific in, as far as what was to be sacrificed, why it was to be sacrificed, how it was to be sacrificed, and then it told you over and over and over again. And then when you get to Deuteronomy, the second reading of the law, it kind of goes through the whole thing again. Amen? And so, you know, we sit there and we read, we're like, well, boy, how? I mean, it just seems like this is all it's saying. Well, yeah, but you know what it's showing you? One of the things it's showing you is this, is God is specific in how he wants things done. Amen? When he described how to build the tabernacle, remember reading that? And you know, each one of the little curtain hangers had to be this big, and you know, and the bolts had to be this, and the spikes had to be that, and all this. It's very specific. If you learn one thing in that Bible, is this: God has his way of doing it, and God wants it done his way. Amen. So when it comes to the sacrifices in the Old Testament, God was very specific about those sacrifices. And not only that, but he's very specific as far as the priest and how he was to offer those sacrifices. A priest had better not enter into the holiest of holies unless he had done things the way God told him to do it. Because if he did, he'd been struck dead. Now, I'm personally thankful that we're not in the Old Testament anymore. Amen? I mean, especially this coming Sunday when we have that meal, I'm sure that there's going to be bacon and ham in there somewhere. It makes me very happy that we're not in the Old Testament. Okay, but I'm also thankful that we don't have to offer blood sacrifices. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful we don't have to go through what Leviticus said we had to go, said people had to go through back in those days as priests. You say, well, why don't we have to do that anymore? Because Jesus Christ took care of all that. Hebrews 10:12 says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now get this, one sacrifice for sins forever. You know what that just told you? that if somebody tries to talk you out of your salvation and says, well, I just believe you can lose it. Boy, you're in a world of hurt if you can. You know why? One offering for sins forever. You only made one offering. If you could lose it, how in the world are you going to get it back? You ever think about that? He only died once, folks. And his blood washed away all sins. All sins, past, present, and future. Yet, even though he paid the sacrifice, he offered himself as a sacrifice, even with that being said, there are still certain sacrifices that the Lord expects every believer to bring to church when they come. Every one of us, when we come to church, we should bring certain sacrifices. And those sacrifices are revealed to us in the last two verses of this chapter. Look, if you would, at verse 4. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, certainly, we should offer these sacrifices to God every day, not just when you come to church, okay? We should be offering these sacrifices to God every day. But we should be doing it especially when we come to church. Don't you see that's a great reason to come to church? I mean, the Bible says that the purpose of the local New Testament church is to edify the saints, to encourage you, to teach you, to get you built up so you can go out there and win others to the Lord and then bring them to church, and that's what we do. That's the purpose of it. But you realize that when you come to church, not only do you come here to get edified, but it gives you an opportunity to offer sacrifices to the Lord, specific sacrifices. Now notice the first sacrifice that is mentioned. It says in verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You say, well, it doesn't say that thanksgiving is a sacrifice here. No, it doesn't here, but in Psalm 107, verse 22, it says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Now, some may wonder why giving God thanks is a sacrifice. You say, well, how is that a sacrifice? I mean, what does that cost me? Just saying, thank you, Lord? Well, question. How many times have you been thankful when things went wrong? I mean, imagine the worst day you've ever had. You wake up in the morning, you got a headache, stomach's upset. You really don't want to go to work, but you go to work. When you go out there, the car won't start. And finally, when the car does start, you make it to work and your tire goes flat. And then you go there and your boss is hard on you all day long. And the whole time you're still sick. And then all of a sudden you find out your dog died. And all these different things happen in one day. How many of you say, well, praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. How many of you do that? You know, the Bible says you're supposed to. You tell me it ain't a sacrifice? Well, sure it is. Sure it is. For you to, you know what our tendency is to complain. That's what our tendency is to do. You say, why is that? Because of this flesh. It's because of the flesh. We complain, but that Bible never says we're supposed to complain. That Bible says we're supposed to be thankful. Thankful. You say, I just don't think I can be thankful for that. Remember reading the book of Job? The most amazing words, some of the most amazing words I've ever heard in that Bible was after everything was taken away from the Lord, or taken away from Job, when the Lord allowed the devil to take everything away from Job, Job said this, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't think anybody in this room could do that. He just lost his entire family, except for his wife. He lost all of his kids. He lost all of his belongings. He lost everything. He didn't lose just one child. He lost them all in one day. And he's sitting there saying, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That right there is the attitude we're supposed to have when we have a bad day. We're supposed to be thankful. We're supposed to be thankful to the Lord. You say, why are we supposed to be thankful? Because he's still in charge and he knows what he's doing. And there's a purpose for everything that goes on in our life. Sometimes, folks, bad things will happen, but God uses those things. God will use those things. And God's got a plan. And if we could, our biggest problem is we don't see the big picture. We only see just a little bit in time. And we see our day and we say that day is so bad. But you know what? 20 years from now, you'll look back and maybe that day may still be bad, maybe it won't be, but you'll understand why that day happened. Why? Because the Lord knows what he's doing, and he can see tomorrow, and we can't see tomorrow. He knows what's coming around the corner. We don't. We only know the now. That's all we know. But yet we complain as if God is still not on the throne, and as if God doesn't know what's going on, or as if God doesn't care. We should be thankful. You know why Paul and Silas were sitting there singing in that jail cell? Because they were thankful that they knew that God had a plan for it. They knew that somehow God was going to use that for his glory, and they were thankful for it. That's the way we are to be. And it says that we should be coming in with him with thanksgiving. And I'll tell you this, rather than being complaining, we need to be thanking God, not just for the good times, but for the bad times as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks. That's everything. That's good and bad. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Because of the way we think, sometimes the hardest thing we'll ever do is say thank you, Lord, when we're facing bad times in our life. But we are to make that sacrifice. We are to present our problems to the Lord, expecting that he'll get us through them. The Bible never says that you're not going to face problems, but he did say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there with you the entire time. And we are to thank him for being with us every step of the way. Can you imagine going through some of the things you go through and not having the Lord with you? Can you imagine facing some of the things you face and not knowing that heaven's your home one of these days? There's a lot to be thankful for, folks. And just when you think you have it bad, there are people that have a whole lot worse. And you need to be thankful. But then we're also told of another sacrifice we're supposed to have, not only the sacrifice of thanksgiving when we come to church, but we should also have the sacrifice of praise. Look at verse 4. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Now the Bible says that, like I said, when we come to church, we're supposed to be praising the Lord. And that's the primary reason that we come to church, is to praise the Lord. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. It's a sacrifice. We are to lift up the name of Jesus all the time, but especially when we come to church. You say, well, why does God put such a premium on offering up these two sacrifices? Why does he make such a big deal about thanksgiving and praise? Well, verse 5 gives us actually three reasons. The first reason why God puts a high premium on us being thankful and us praising him when we come to church and in every day of our lives, the first reason is because of his goodness. It says, for the Lord is good in verse 5. How many of you can attest tonight that the Lord is good? Amen. He is good. Everything that God does is an expression of his goodness. We can praise God and be thankful because he's good. Regardless of what happens in life, God is good. We are not. God is good. No matter how things turn out, God is still good. Therefore, we are to be thankful and we are to praise him for that. But then there's also his mercy to consider. Look at verse 5 again. It says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. We can be thankful and praise God because he's constantly extending his mercy to us as we go through life. You say, what is mercy? Well, mercy is not getting what you deserve. That's what mercy is. You know, and when you know you deserve something and God doesn't give it to you, that's mercy. I tell you this, you know, we live in a time when everybody wants what's coming to them. Not me, brother. I don't want what's coming to me. If I got what was coming to me, I'd be in hell today. But thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. Instead of getting what I deserve, God deals with me in mercy, and he holds back his wrath from me. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross years ago and took that cup of wrath in my place. Now I don't have to worry about the wrath of God coming upon me. I don't have to worry about it. Why? It's because God's grace and mercy. God extended, he extinguished his wrath from toward me, and now I enjoy that mercy every day. And his mercy will never be exhausted. Lamentations 3:22 says, it is of God's mercies that we are not consumed, because of his compassions fail not. Do you realize today the reason you're going to heaven is because of the mercy and grace of God? That's the reason you're going to go to heaven. Isn't that something to thank the Lord for? Amen. Isn't that something to praise God for? Listen, If you can't praise God for any other reason, praise Him for not giving you what you deserve.
That's right.
Amen? I mean, again, and I hate belaboring this point, but think about just for a moment how you have acted, and me too, I'm right there with you, how we have acted since the Lord saved us. Now, I would hope that we are living a little bit better lives than what we were. I mean, we should be living cleaner lives. We're living for the Lord. But we still make a whole lot of mistakes, amen? And we still think ways that we shouldn't think. We still have attitudes that we shouldn't have. And we still neglect to do the things we ought to do. And we still don't do the things we should do. You know, just like Paul said in Romans chapter 7, we all go through those things. But do you realize every time you go through those things, you know what God does? His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. He doesn't give you what you deserve. I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for that. And I praise God for that. So we certainly you have his mercy, but then also we need to praise him and be thankful because of his guarantees. Verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Do you realize tonight that even while the years may pile up, not a single promise in this Bible will fail? Not a single one. Because if any of them fail, then either God doesn't know what he's talking about or he lied. And God does not lie, and God knows everything. Amen? He can't lie, and he promised the things he promised, that he promised 6,000 years ago, just as true today. The things 10,000 years from now, just as true today. When he tells you he loves you, you can count on it. That's never going to stop. When he tells you that he'll save anybody who calls out upon his name, you can count on that being true. When he tells you that one of these days he's going to come back and get us, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. When he tells you that he'll keep you saved no matter what, once you receive Jesus Christ, that's an absolute truth. Anything that's written inside this book, you can count on. Anything you can, because they're his words. And that sure is a good thing to be thankful for, isn't it? That's a good thing to praise the Lord for. I tell you what I'm thankful for, folks, and I'll praise the Lord, and you should too. Number one, that you got this Bible.
Amen.
Number two, that every word in it's truth, and you can count on every single thing. When you can't count on anything else in this world, you can count on the Word of God being true. You can count on every single promise that he ever made is true. Every guarantee he made is true. And they'll last forever. When we come to church, we are to bring the right things. And you know, and I know some people bring their Bibles and some people bring all sorts of different things. But when we come to church, we are to bring the right spirit. We are to bring the right attitude of submission. And we are to bring the right sacrifices when you come to church. And I'll tell you this, if you did that, if we all do that, then we're bringing the right things to church. And you're going to get a whole lot more out of church. Amen? If we'll bring the right things.